Today I want to look at the qualities of a fool. The qualities of a fool. So there's a dictionary definition of a fool is one who is deficient in judgment, sense, or understanding. And there's an archaic definition, and this is probably the definition when we, if we're reading the King James Version of the Bible and we read, you know, the word fool, the King James Bible would have it as a mentally deficient person or an idiot, which I guess, you know, usually that's not polite language in our time now to say those, but that was the sense that when the King James Version writers were using that word to interpret fool. Mark Twain said, I was young and foolish then. He says, now I am old and foolisher. The Bible has a lot to say about fools. And I have to admit that probably I've been very foolish in my life. And you know, I'm sure a lot of people would agree that, you know, it is something that is common to all. But we'll look at what the Bible has to say about fools. And what are the qualities of a fool? Proverbs 26. And we're going to be in Proverbs 26 a lot, but I'm going to jump around a little bit. But you can probably hold your place there because that's going to be the majority. In Proverbs 26 and verse 1, it says, as snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. So we are told that a fool should not receive honor. Yet, I guess in our society, people will, you know, act, believe, or teach foolish things and receive honor. I'll give an example, like an atheist, right? And again, an atheist is a very smart person, but the things that they believe, act, and teach are foolish. And so the Bible right here is saying, hey, we don't need to pay attention to fools. Don't give honor to fools. So as Christians, we don't need to show honor to fools. And in today's message, I wanted to see if we can determine through examining the Bible, what are the qualities of a fool? Why? Well, first off, we don't want to be fools. Like I said before, I've been fooled and I've been a fool. So we don't want to be fools. Matthew 5:22, though, gives us something to kind of understand about fools. And some people will be like, well, why did Jesus say this? And you're going to talk about fools. In Matthew 5 and verse 22, and this is in the Sermon on the Mount, and he's giving a lot of really great advice and amplifying the law here. And he says, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, you know, that was an insult then. We have some insults now that we could say that would be equivalent to that. And you say that to that, it says, you know, you're in danger of judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Right? It says, you fool, you shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, why would Jesus say this when he also, right, people say, well, didn't he call the scribes and Pharisees fools? So see, he says, if you call someone a fool, you're in danger of hellfire, but yet he turns around and he calls scribes and Pharisees fools. And it's really, the difference is pretty simple to see, I think, is that the difference is that he's comparing it to raca. He's comparing it to an insult, right? To you know, saying, you know, you fool, or you so-and-so, you son of a this and that, right? So using it as an angry insult, right, is wrong. That's not, you know, that's wrong. But what Christ did is he used it as a description of behavior. So when he calls the scribes and Pharisees fools, he's describing their behavior and how they're acting. You know. So there's that difference to understand. You know, why Christ would have said that. Because there's a difference in saying, you fool, or asking the question. It's like, why are you acting the fool, right? You know, that's the expression. He's like, why are you acting like a fool? So those are, you know, different things to look at when we look at this. Back to Proverbs 26, verse 2. says, like a flitting sparrow, or like a flying swallow. You know, a little sparrow flies along, and a swallow flies along. So a curse without cause shall not alight. So just like a bird flying, by a curse with no reason will not affect you. Right? So again, a curse without a cause is not going to come to light. And so this is in this context of foolishness. And fools, right? Fools will often tell you something that is foolish, that is stupid. I mean, even someone smart, like I said, an atheist, they'll tell you something and say that and say, boom, this is a foolish thing they just said. And it's saying right here, well, we should just ignore that. Just ignore that. I mean, you know, they may say whatever, just ignore it. It's better to be ignored. Right? You ever heard someone say, step on a crack, you break your mother's back? Like we said that when we were a kid? Right. I mean, kids will say that. That's obviously wrong. Right? I've tested it. If you step on a crack, you will not break your mother's back. And again, adults will sometimes say things similar and give you some advice. You know, I've had people give me advice that I obviously knew is this is not good advice. This is, right? But what do I do? I could be afraid by what they said, or I could just be like, thank you, and move on. And that's what he's saying. Don't, you know, when a curse without cause is said, that we should ignore those things. Verse 3, it says, a whip for the horse, right? Whip the horse, a bridle for the donkey, you know, in his mouth, you got to guide him along, and a rod for the fool's back. So he's saying that fools deserve to be whipped for their foolishness. Now, I don't think we should take this literally, right? You know, I'm not saying we just go whip people because we think they're foolish. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying, and this is, again, we have to look at ourselves and look at what it means to be a fool, and that a fool needs to be whipped because a fool is not doing right. A fool is acting wrong. A fool is thinking wrong. A fool is not going the right way. And so they, you know, like just like a horse has to be guided, a fool has to be guided sometimes, he says, by a rod. You don't want to be that, because that's not what God wants for us. But we need to understand how strongly we need to not be foolish. Verse 4. It says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. But he says, answer a fool to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. And so here we're going to look at, through this, to find the first quality of a fool, right? We're going to try to quantify this and say, what are the qualities of a fool? The first quality of a fool is there's no convincing a fool of anything. Fools are closed-minded and not open to evidence. Right? And so I'll give you these verses, and there's an easy-to-read Bible translation. I like the easy-to-read Bible because it takes it and puts it in simple English. So I'm going to read these two verses in the easy-to-read version. It says, there's no good way to answer fools when they say something stupid. If you answer them, then you too will look like a fool. If you don't answer them, then they will think they are smart. So that's the dilemma, right? So a fool says to you, the earth is flat, right? Somebody, you know, a fool says, the earth is flat. So how do you respond to that? How do you respond to that? Do you try to convince them with evidence? People have tried, right? You can take a person who believes in the flat earth up into an airplane and say, look at the curvature of the earth. And say, look, it's round. And they're like, no, it's not. You know, so again, you can't convince a fool of anything. Because fools don't respond to facts or evidence. So again, the first quality of fool is you can't convince them. They're closed-minded, open, and not open to evidence. And again, you know, if we're looking at the quality of fool, I want to make sure that I'm not this way. That I'm not acting this way. In Proverbs 12:15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. So it's saying, fools Don't listen to advice. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you see this quality of the fool. The fool can't be instructed. The fool does not listen to evidence or reason or God's word. Proverbs 18:2. And this is, a quality of a fool. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Right? A fool will tell you, he'll let you know his opinion. Right? That's a quality of a fool. Here's my opinion about this. Blah, 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 blah. This is my opinion. But fools not only will not not only will not listen to wisdom instruction, they actually hate it. Right, the fool says in his heart there is no God. And that's a foolish thing to believe. And so they hate wisdom, hate instruction. A fool might say, right, say, dogs have six legs. And I'll be like, no, they don't. And a fool will say, well, that's just your opinion. That's just your opinion. My opinion is dogs have six legs. That's the mindset of a fool. We can't have that mindset. Because there are facts, and facts are facts. Fools will try to make you think that their opinions are just as valid as an established fact. Right? For example, there's established fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected and that people seen him and that the church was started. So that's established fact, established history. A fool will say, that Jesus faked his own death. A fool would say, things that have no proof, right? A fool would say, well, Paul invented Jesus. He wasn't a real person. Well, no, the facts say we have evidence. We know Jesus was a real person. We know he was resurrected. This is like we have eyewitnesses upon eyewitnesses, and we have all this word to prove this thing. So again, the first quality, there's no convincing a fool. Right? A fool can say, well, God created Sunday as a Sabbath. Like, no, he didn't. I can show you. God created the seventh day as the Sabbath. So you can't convince a fool. Another from Proverbs, it says, where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in abundance of counselors, there is safety. And it's important for us to consider this. An abundance of counselors, there is safety. So again, fools, right, the quality of a fool, and make sure that I'm not a fool. And again, I have been a fool, so I can relate to fools. But I don't want to be a fool anymore. There's an important tool for us to consider, right? An abundance of counselors, there is safety. Because fools do not listen to or seek advice. Right? For example, I'm not an expert on car care. Right? I don't know diddly squat about fixing my car. So if there's something wrong with my car, I'm going to go find an expert to look at it. And it's why sometimes with I go to an expert and he says, well, it's going to cost you $1,500 to get this thing fixed. I'll be like, well, let me go take it somewhere else. And you go ask someone else, right? Because that's a wise thing to do, is to consult experts and get their opinion on something. And the more advice that I seek, the safer I am in the fact that my car will be taken care of properly and that I will not be overcharged. But if I take it down to some dude down the street's garage who's been watching YouTube repair videos, I don't think that's as safe. Like, you learn this from YouTube. It's like, whoa, I want somebody who's gone to school and studied to fix my car. When I need advice on Scripture, right, I should seek someone in God's church who has God's Spirit. Amen. Right? If I need advice on Scripture, right, because they are the experts. You are the experts in the God's church. If you have God's Spirit, you're the experts on Scripture. Now, I can, somebody with a college degree and studies this or whatever, they're not an expert. They may be an expert on what they study, but they're not an expert on what Scripture, because God's Holy Spirit is the expert on Scripture. And so I'm safe if I have a question about God's word to ask people in God's church, get their opinions and see what they think. And that's a safe way to come to an answer. So this principle applies to all types of things we do in life, right? So if I need tax advice, do I, consult tax advisors, right? Because my wife's an accountant, and she deals with people who make foolish mistakes and not seeking the correct information, and she has sometimes to fix those mistakes, right? So do I consult the tax advisors or some guy or some dude who thinks the federal tax system's unconstitutional? I mean, you may be right about that. I don't know. But if you seek that advice, are you safe? Are you safe from prison? And again, the same thing goes with medicine, science, engineering, and other disciplines. We should seek, advice on different things in our life from those who are experts. But a fool does not consult or trust experts. Proverbs 29:9. I'm reading all these from the English Standard because the English Standard kind of says it the way I want to say it today. Proverbs 29:9 says, if a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. Right? So a wise man has an argument with a fool, the fool only rages and laughs, and there is no quiet. Right? Because a wise man talking to a fool is not going to change the fool. He just laughs. It's like, it's not going to do anything. So the first quality of a fool is there's no convincing a fool of anything. Fools are closed-minded and not open to evidence. So the next quality of a fool, here in Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26 and verse 6. So he who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Now, you send a message by a fool, you're cutting off your own feet and you drink violence. In other words, if you send a message by way of a fool, they'll probably mess it up and get you in trouble. Right? Why are you trusting a fool to do something important? Right? And this would be like, I would say this is probably like if you're like a leader of a country, or a leader, back then your leader, and you want to send a message to one of your, out there about something, we want to do a treaty, you don't send a fool to do that. A fool could mess it up. A fool could cause more fighting to happen. So the second quality of a fool is that they cannot be trusted. You cannot trust a fool. Proverbs 26, verse 7 says, like the legs of the lame that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Again, I'm going to read the easy-to-read version. Kind of summarize. It says, a fool trying to say something wise is like a crippled person trying to walk. You cannot trust a fool to say anything wise. A lot of times what they say may sound wise, right? Because again, an atheist, or like Richard Dawkins, again, very smart man, and I've read a lot of his books, and read things he's written and said, he's very smart. And he can come across very smart. But if he tells you there's no God, and he tells you that evolution is how things happen, that's foolish. Because that's not what the evidence shows. So you can't trust a fool. Proverbs 26, verse 8. Like one who binds a stone in a sling is he who gives honor to a fool. Right? So a sling, if you put a rock in a sling, you just may have to like take that rock and throw it and hit something. But if you just bind it up, you're just swinging in circles. It's not effective if it doesn't release. So giving respect or trust to a fool is itself foolish. Because you can't trust a fool. You can't trust the things that they say. You can't trust their behaviors. You can't trust them. Matthew 25:14 gives an example of someone foolish. Matthew 25:14 says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and trusted to give them his property. You know, the one he gave five, another two, another one, right? So we know this story, and we know the one who had five, he goes and trades, and he gets five more. The one has two, trades, and gets two talents more. Verse 18, this is the fool. But he who had received the one talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the five talents came forward, brought five talents more, and you know, the one with two brought two more. And so and he makes them, you know, gives them cities and so forth. Verse 23 says, you know, good, well done, faithful servants, that y'all did that. But the one who received one, verse 24, the fool, he also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I need to be a hard man, reaping where you sow and gathering where you scatter no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But the master said, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew I reap where I have sown and gather where I have not scattered no seed. Then you have invested my money with the bankers, and in my coming I least should have received what was mine own with interest. So take this talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he who have not, and he will have an abundance. But one who is not, even that what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant, right, the fool, into outer darkness. Because a fool can't be trusted, right? The wise, he trusted the five. The five got five more talents. He trusted the two. Hey, he did a good job. Fool, I'm gonna go bury it. You know, that's foolish. And you cannot trust the fool. That's the second quality. All right, so let's look at the third quality. Proverbs 26, verse 10. Proverbs 26, verse 10. The great God who formed everything gives the fool his hire and the transgressor his wages. So the third quality of a fool is that their behaviors lead to problems. Lead to problems. Right? The fool gets his hire and the transgressor gets his wages. You know, what are the wages of sin? Death. We know in Deuteronomy that God, you know, laid out a lot of blessings that if you were to obey his law and listen to his voice, that you would be blessed. You know, and again, this was, you know, national blessings. But these things, they're not just blessings because God says so. They're blessings because they're naturally blessings. He made these to be naturally things. These are just common sense things that if you do these things, you will be blessed. God's law is a very natural, spiritual law that gives us success. But the fool will get paid his wages. And this is the fool's wages, Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass in 28:15 that if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Verse 16, cursed will you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, verse 18, and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Let's go down the verse, and there's a lot of curses in here, right? You know, that this is the wages of a fool. Jump to verse 58. And 58 says, if you do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sickness. So there's a relationship to illness and plagues as being wages of fools. Proverbs 18:6. It's like a fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Right? A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. Right? You know, that somebody can, a foolish person will get into a fight and say something, and they will get, you know, get beat up for what they said, or get into a scuffle, or get into a fight. You know, we do have a lot of people in our country, per se, a small percentage actually, that, you know, that may get killed for something, right? I mean, I don't, you know, worry, maybe it's a random crime or something, but most of the people in our country who get killed is because they get into a fight. They cause a problem for themselves, and someone ends up getting mad at them and shooting them. That's the, you know, a fool will get their wages, and right there is a beating. Breaking God's laws, specifically in our country, right? We can look at our country, we can look at the world. You know, things, you know, all of God's Ten Commandments, things that God has said about quarantine in God's law, that, you know, in God's law it says if there's a dead body, what happens if there's a dead body? You touch a dead body. Well, if you touch a dead body, you got to stay away from everybody for 7 days. Doesn't mean you're sick, because, I mean, touch a dead body, you may or may not be sick. But God said, be careful with these things. So God gives us laws. God gives us common sense things. If our country would have done that, I guarantee you we would not have the plague that we are having right now, because God's law shows you how to overcome these things. Psalm 14:1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. And you can take that to be atheist, but sometimes Christians act like atheists, right? Because sometimes our behavior that we do, or people who maybe not us, because we're in God's church and hopefully we're doing great, but we are just as vulnerable to sin as anyone else. So a Christian could say, hey, I believe in God, but their behavior doesn't show it. You can say you believe in God, but live your life like you're an atheist. Live your life as if there is no God. And that's foolish. Because they are corrupt, they do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. Verse 2, the Lord looks down from the heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. So fools will get their wages. The behavior of a fool leads to destruction, leads to problems. So that's why we don't want to be a fool. Because, you know, foolishness leads to problems in our lives. And we can avoid that. In James chapter 2, a few verses here, we're going to look at another component of foolish behavior. James 2, verse 20. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, right? He goes out and says it, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless. Because it's foolish to think that you can have faith without works. That's what he says, right? That I got faith, but I ain't going to do anything. What? He says, wasn't that Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was being active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So fools are lazy, right? That's the fourth characteristic of a fool. You know, first off, fools can't be trusted. Fools are, get their things coming to them, but also fools are lazy. Fools are lazy. Proverbs 6 describes such a fool. Proverbs 6, verse 6 says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler. She prepares your bread in summer and gathers your food in harvest. Right? The ants are just definitely great examples. I've many a time in my life have fought battles with ants, wherever I may be living, because ants, they want to build the mounds, they want to come in the house. They don't give up. So, you know, I get the stuff, I get the poison, I put the poison on the ants, spray, I do what I can, and the ants still come back. And they still make their way in. And ants are, they don't give up. Ants are examples of not being lazy, of working and following through. So go to the ant, you sluggard. How long will you lie there, oh sluggard, right? Foolish and lazy. When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. So again, this is the thing, and this is something our country has to understand. If you're lazy, you're foolish. And if you're lazy, you're going to get your reward, which is poverty. There are so many jobs that are available now, and I am shocked that people are not just running over each other to get jobs. Jobs, a lot of jobs. Get a job. Don't be lazy. All right, the qualities of a fool. Number one, there's no convincing a fool of anything, right? Can't convince a fool. They're closed-minded, not open to evidence. The second quality of a fool is they can't be trusted. The third quality of a fool is that their behavior, right, lead to problems. Fourth, that fools are lazy. The fifth one, back in Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. A fool repeats it. So fools never learn. Right? Fools will do something foolish. They will reap that reward. And they'll still be like, well, I'm going to do it again. Fools never learn. Proverbs 18:7. A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are a snare to his soul. Matthew 7. Right? Matthew 7, right? A fool never learns. Matthew 7 and verse 24. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine, right? He's saying, everybody who hears my words, right? Christ's words are important words. He's giving you wisdom. He's giving you life, how to live. But a fool does not learn. A fool will not learn. And he says, everyone who hears his word of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man. He'll build his head on the sand, his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. It was a disaster, because he was like, he built the house where it didn't belong. Because fools never learn. So what does this mean? I don't want to be a fool. I need to learn from Christ and not repeat my mistakes and not repeat others' mistakes if I can see mistakes beforehand. That's why there's so many examples in Scripture. They're like, oh, that was awful. Don't be like David did. You know, be like he did later when he repented. Proverbs 26. Back to Proverbs 26. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. So you can be even more foolish than a fool. If you think that you're wise, when really, you're just a fool. Here's something. Here's another quote. It's supposedly from Mark Twain, but they're not quite sure, but I like it. And this quote is, it's easier to fool people than to convince them that they've been fooled. That's true, right? It's easier to fool people. I could fool people all day long. But trying to convince people that they've been fooled, that's hard. That's hard to do. It's the sixth quality of a fool. Fools do not put their faith in God, only in themselves. Only in themselves. In Luke chapter 12, we read the parable of the rich fool. Right, because fools do not put their faith in God, only in themselves. Luke 12 and verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told a parable saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully." And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." Right? So again, and when he talks about rich men, there's nothing wrong with being rich. What's the problem is not putting your faith in God, but putting your faith in yourself. So he said, "What shall I do? I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones." Right, that's what I'll do. "And there I'll store all my grain and goods. I'm going to fill these barns up with grains and goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Right? I've done it. I've accomplished it. I got all this saved up. I'm going to relax. I'm going to have a good time because I have done well for myself. But God said to him, "Fool." God said to him, "Fool." Verse 20. "This night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared," right? All the stuff you have, "whose will it be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and not rich towards God." Not rich towards God. Fools do not put their faith in God, only in themselves. Proverbs 1. Proverbs 1. In verse 32. It says, "For the simple are killed by turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them." Right? That is the complacency that we see in all these qualities of a fool. "But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster." So that's the quality of wise. That's the quality of wisdom. Because wisdom is something that we can ask God for. James says that. We can ask God for wisdom. And if we're truly seeking, God will give us wisdom. And we can get more and more of that. And not be as foolish as we are. Not become old fools when we were young fools. I want to conclude in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. How to avoid being a fool. Right, we looked at all the qualities of fools. Now, how do we avoid being foolish? Titus chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Remember them to be submissive to rulers and authority, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work." So, you know, be good citizens, right? You know, be a good citizen because you're setting an example as a member of the kingdom of God that we're going to set examples in our world. Verse 2, "To speak evil of no one." See, that's a hard thing to do, right? Because as humans, we have a tendency, we want to speak evil of people. You know, politicians want to speak evil of their counterparts. You know, we want to speak, if we get all fed up, we say, "Oh, we want to speak evil of people who don't believe like we do or who are sinners," right? We don't need to do that. We don't need to speak evil of no one. I mean, that was foolish. It's a waste of time. To avoid quarreling, right? It's foolish, waste of time. To be gentle and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. Great advice. Again, we don't really do this in the world, and we may be guilty of this, but that's great advice, right? Those is wonderful advice of how to live and be a servant of Christ. Being courteous to everyone. Why? Verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish. So hopefully we can say that. So I once was foolish. Now I'm not. We were once foolish, disobedient, led astray. Are these all the qualities of fools? Slaves to various passions and pleasures. Passing our days in malice and envy, right? Never learning. Hated by others and hating one another. Is that what we want to be as Christians? Do we want to be hated by others? Do we want to hate people? That's foolish. It sounds familiar. There's so much people in our society today that hate each other. We cannot become a part of that hate. We have to be part of the kingdom of God and the good news of the gospel. Christians do not hate. We love. We were all fools. We were all once fools. We were all fooled by Satan. But now we have salvation from foolishness. Pretty much we have salvation from being a fool. Verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, that's what we do, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out in us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So let's not be fools. Let's be saints and followers of Christ. Love everyone.